All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we have some exciting reunions and finales to discuss. Lots going on in the pop culture space. We've got a new Lady Gaga episode to dive into. But I do have some personal things that I want. Well, they're not that personal, but just like in my own life that I want to talk about. Just some observations I've had before we get into all that stuff. So this is a time for just other people, normal people, business, which is my business, and some observations I've had. So I'm just going to jump right in, okay?
Okay.
First thing is that I took a little day trip to Columbus on Friday for work to go to a trade show. And it's about a 3-hour drive if you don't stop at all. I stopped twice, you know. And as I'm driving, Phoebe.
I know exactly what you're going to talk about.
What?
The safety corridors.
Okay. Well, no. But I did want to also talk about that. But what are you going to say about the safety corridors?
They're the scariest things to drive through in the world because you feel like you're actually on. There was an old ride at Kennywood called the Turnpike, and it feels are on that ride. But instead of signs that are like Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or State College, it's like you could fucking die right now. Put down your phone, you
okay,
stupid
yes.
slut.
Phoebe, this
idiot.
Is exactly what I was going to talk about. Could you just tell? You knew from the agenda that I sent you.
Well, I thought it was going to be a game. I thought that's what it was. I didn't think until you started talking about Ohio, because that's how I have to drive to Nashville. So we don't have these in Pennsylvania, but in Ohio and in parts of West Virginia, they have these things called safety corridors where they're like
where the
really
signs
strict.
Are literally like turn back now. I mean, yes. Literally like this sign that says all the sign says, you guys. Okay. And it's not one of those like electronic signs where you can change the message. Like this is a permanent sign. It's there on the way to Columbus and on the way back that says, this could be your last text. And okay, here's the deal. I wasn't texting because I don't text and drive like a psycho. But what I do want to say is like that warning is a little bit like insane for the road. I think we could say it in another way. But I'm also like, what a thought to have. I need that to actually be like an Apple iOS update that pops up on your phone when you're about to send a text that you absolutely don't need to be sending. It says this could be your last text. And you're like, wait, okay, hang on, because if that's true, and if somebody takes my phone and I die mysteriously right now and someone looks and they're like, she was texting her fuck buddy, you up. And we all said, she said she was done with that motherfucker. Like, or it's even worse. And it's like, you're sending a nasty text to your sister. I saw your fucking picture. Are you wearing my clothes, you stupid whore? Like, or you're in a fight with like, your friend or, I mean, just think of all the embarrassing, can you get me some more toilet paper? Like, think of all the embarrassing, this could be your last text. I just think there should be an app.
Like packs of cigarettes that say, like they,
you're
going to
die if you open this.
The Surgeon General
yeah.
warning, like yeah. all this stuff. It's like, we need that on our phones.
Yes, we do. We need a Surgeon General's warning for drunk texts and even just lonely texts. 'Tis the damn season texts. Like, we need it.
A phone that says, Caroline also, you sent me that tweet the other day that was like, I can't believe that it was like a screenshot of people's texts. And the person was like, I can't believe you still went to go see her. And the response was, look, I know my worth, but sometimes I go on sale. And you said, you low key as fuck. You
it
low key
is.
As fuck or something like that. And
it's
I said it to Taylor.
High key you. Did they agree?
I said it to Taylor and Mimi. And they were like, they were like, okay, she absolutely got you. She
got
your ass.
Got your ass. I mean, here's the thing. Phoebe was like, oh my God. Like, and at first I was like, wait, should I apologize? No. I was like, should I apologize? No. Because it wasn't mean. It's just true. You are sometimes like that.
Well, it is like you can know your worth.
Everybody is. I'm not.
It's just like, I'm not being mean. The thing is that you feel, you know, you're not. I think that sometimes you should be able to specify, like, look, I know I'm not doing this for the reasons that everybody's projecting onto me. I might just be doing it because like I want to do X, Y, Z. It's not because I think that's what I deserve or what I'm worth.
Right, right, right.
But it's like, why not? Who
but cares? Then there's also like the little sick part of you that's like, this isn't what I deserve, but I can fix them. No, really, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's you start getting in your Taylor Swift vibe and you're like, but I'm different and this time's going to be different. So like that is a little bit of what we call delusion and your subconscious, you know, at play.
By the way, guys,
which
nothing
think,
has happened. Nothing has happened in the like no, recent future that has given Caroline cause to think that.
Also just the way that it was worded, like Phoebe's Twitter bio says, I take the hot out of hot mess, which I think is funny as fuck. And she'll never change it because I told her 10 years ago I think it's funny and that will now forever be her Twitter bio, which I love that you value what I say that much. And I just think it's exactly why. And I just think it's a similar vibe as, look, I know my worth, but sometimes I go on sale, which also is something that I would have said in college and really until I met Anthony. I know, okay, but perfect. I mean, until I met Anthony, if I had continued to be single all through my 20s, you can bet your bottom dollar I would have plenty of those moments because I had plenty of those moments in college, one of which I'm remembering now. I mean, it's so funny to think about. Dad, like, I love this moment.
Oh, I remember that. I remember
that. Like, I get my tonsils. I literally, you guys, and here's just a cautionary tale, okay? If your ex comes into town and is like, yeah, let's hang out, let's hook up, and you're like, yes, oh my God, we're going to get back together, it's going to be great. And then you leave for Christmas break for 3 weeks, and they blow you off the night you're supposed to hang out before you leave. And then they do not text you on Christmas. They do not text you on New Year's. They don't text you at all the entire break. And you got your tonsils out. And they knew you were getting your tonsils out. And they've been watching your stories. They're aware of how you're spending. Also, your strategically placed stories, okay? Placed so that somebody will see them. And they don't even acknowledge them at all. And then you're crying every day because not only does your mouth hurt so bad from getting your tonsils out, but like this person is just ripping your heart up every moment. It's all you can think about because you're not in school. And then your dad looks at you one day and is just like, please fucking delete that number. Please, Caroline, just delete the number, please. And I'm like, okay, wow, I will do that.
I've had such a realization recently that like we are... It sucks that we have so much access to everything. Like,
oh
I
God.
Think about that all the time. I'm like, wait, people that, like, our parents, our grandparents, they didn't have the ability to, like, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, there are things that I know about people that aren't really in my life anymore that, like,
I don't need to know and I shouldn't know.
I would be so much more moved on from situations if technology weren't
yeah,
a part
it's true.
Of... Because I just
literally
you wouldn't know anything about anybody.
It's so true.
I wish it was like that.
There's like an old episode of Vile Files where Nick is like, he has some psychologist on who is like going through a breakup. Your brain and your body experience the same thing that somebody who is addicted to heroin goes through when they experience withdrawal. Like it is by no means you being dramatic. If you're in this relationship that rocks your world and it goes away, you're now missing this like dopamine hit that your brain and your body was used to getting. You're not getting it. You go through withdrawal. You don't think clearly. You make decisions that you might not otherwise make. You're in literal pain and it's like, it doesn't make sense to anyone unless you've really experienced it. Right. And like, the thing is, the only answer is no contact. Like, but it is so hard to get to a place where you're in a space where you're like, I'm ready for that, because we're in this world where we have such unfettered access to everyone around us. It's like going no contact doesn't even mean you don't see their updates. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like you have to unfollow. You have to actually block. And like it takes a long time.
And then you think about the web, the interconnected web of everybody in their life and in your life and in lives in between that are connecting. It's connecting everybody to everybody. And it's like, we should not know this much about each other.
But there is that place where it's like you really have to be done to do that. Or like, someone has to do it for you and you have to stick with it. And it literally does feel like a drug to like unblock them. Like you're like, I can't. And I think that's why it's so hard to get over people, is because like we have all this knowledge and all this exposure and all this like whatever. And then you have the power to turn it off. But like you have to actually really be ready to like be done and not want this person. So when my father's begging me to delete this person's number, my dad, who's maybe never talked to me about a boy ever, and I was like, oh my God, like, okay. And I literally deleted him. I deleted him off of social. I deleted his number. I go back to Charleston. The second I'm back in Charleston, maybe I didn't block him because he must have seen that I was back. I get a text. I'm at a party. I get a text. Hey, do you want to get lunch tomorrow? And I'm like, who is this? Because I was drunk. I didn't even like, and that is unlike me to not immediately know that it was him. I was like, who is this? And he said, are you kidding me? It's me. And said his name. And I was like, oh, my dad begged me to delete your number over the break when you didn't speak to me for the last month when I was fucking on my deathbed.
Which is so crazy.
Crazy that the second wild. I get back to town, he's like, want to get lunch? And guess what I said? I would love to. And so that's how you know. Like, it's just, you have to be at the place where, like, I thought I was there. Until he dangled a carrot in front of me. And I was like, yes, I love you. Right. And it's just so crazy. I don't remember why I started talking about that. Oh, the last text thing. But those signs, I was like just dying. I was like, okay, well, I'm not about to send a text, but I do need to open the podcast notes app so that I can add this in so I don't forget to talk about this insane sign. So I'm so glad we both have that.
I mean, I definitely, the first time I did the drive from Pittsburgh to Nashville, from Nashville to Pittsburgh, I was like, wait, what? Have I just been missing these the entire time we've been going on these road trips? And I was like, no, these feel are like kind of a rarity.
Dramatic, no? Like, is anyone
it feels
else?
A little much. It's giving amusement park, low-key. And also, there's these, when you drive from Nashville to Atlanta, you go through the mountains, and there are these really steep hill grades. And then, leading up to, like, when the hill is, like, it's steepest and it's going to be steep for a long time. There are all these signs with the percentages and like trucks pull off. You need to be weighed before you come off. Lights flashing everywhere. And I'm like, I feel like I'm on the exterminator at Kennywood. Like what? Why does it? It's so dramatic. Yeah. And I understand it, but it's like, it makes it feel so much more like, I can't describe the unsettled feeling that it makes me feel, yeah. But that's what these signs make me feel. That's how the text signs feel too.
Well, speaking of a trip to Nashville, did mom tell you?
Yeah, I haven't done any work on it yet.
Well, it's okay. She told you today.
Half asleep.
My mom.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So sweet. So I have a few exciting trips planned and I'm going to share them in case you guys have any fun recommendations, even though I've been all these places before, but still, it's just fun to talk. So my 30th birthday is like literally in about a month, which makes me feel sick to my stomach. I'm like, the closer it gets, its imminent arrival is really fucking with me. Like, it's just, am I still gonna be cool when I'm 30?
I think that 30, and this is what
not that society's. Here's the other thing. I'm sorry.
It's increasingly.
I know a lot of really cool 30-year-olds. Like, I don't think, and that's the issue, is I don't see anyone else who's 30 and think you're old, you're uncool.
Right.
But I feel like as soon as I'm 30, that's going to be my truth.
I think that's probably how most people feel. That's how people feel about every age. Like, every age seems fine, and then you turn it, and you're like, wait, I'm the oldest person that's literally ever lived.
I know.
But like I do think that the 30s are becoming the new 20s, and the 30 feels like such a chic age.
I think it's true. I'm glad you're feeling like that. I mean, I think the older you get, the chicer it feels. And I was just listening to Las Culturistas with Liz Feldman, and she says, like, if I could choose any age to be, I would choose 35, and that makes me feel like, okay, the best years
the
are
best
still
is
ahead
yet
of
to
me.
Come.
But it is just like a crazy thing because I feel like when you're a teenager, you're just so excited to grow up. You never think you're going to be fucking 30. So you can't wait for 20 because you're 1 year closer to 21. 30, I'm just like having kind of a moment about.
Mel Robbins was on Jake Shane's podcast.
Oh my God.
And
how was their combo?
Was like,
I need to listen. That's hilarious.
He said something about being in his 20s and she was like, your 20s are the worst.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, everybody says the 20s are supposed to be the best part of your life. And she was like, yeah, but that's why it's the worst. Because you're living the first 20 years of your life. And first of all, you have structure. You have all this stuff. Yes. And then that's taken from you. And you're also supposed to feel like it's the best. Yeah. Which I think is why a lot of people resonate with Girls, the show, mm-hmm. is because it shows. And I think it's why it's having such a resurgence right now, partially, is like, this new generation of 20-somethings are watching it maybe for the first time. Yeah. And they're like, you do feel, say what you will about Lena Dunham, but like she did create such a feeling of that show. And it's like, wait, that's how we we all feel this way and we just like don't really talk about
there's it. Such like a romanticizing of your 20s on television. And one thing that I think we don't talk about is that oftentimes the people who are living their 20s on screen on a scripted television show are in their 30s or older, and and like we're looking at them. And the story might be written for 20-year-olds, but it's also written by people who are older. And they're looking back as like, well, this is what I would have wanted my 20s to be like. Nobody, and there's kind of a sentiment where it's like, do people want to watch the struggle years? Not everyone does, you know? Like, people want to see and the exciting stuff. But I think Broad City does a good job of it, too, showing like how fun and chaotic and exciting your 20s can be while also being really hard in your struggle years where you don't live in the place you want to live and you're still figuring out how are we going to get enough money to go to the concert we want to go to. But like those are the things you're thinking about, you know, I don't know. So I think,
and it's, I also feel like the pulse of New York and the like the way that they live kind of reverberates out to the rest of the world. And I think that they depict your 20s there as like when you talk to someone from New York who's in their 20s and is living in New York or like even in their 30s, it's like, oh, well, you seem so like it makes it feel not as old for some reason. There's something about the way that life looks there that you're like, oh, like I know that I'm in Nashville and you go out to the suburbs of Nashville and it's a bunch of like 23-year-olds who are married and like having their first kid, but like that's not just because that's what you're around doesn't mean that's what you want
or have to do. And like it's true. And I think, I don't know, it's interesting, but maybe we should do girls for our pilot this year.
That would be good. Also, exciting news. I haven't seen too much about this since the initial like press release or something, but Rachel Sennett is currently writing a girls-esque show, which is like, she's such a good, she's a great, she wrote on, I think she wrote on Bottoms. I can't remember, but I think she wrote on Bottoms, but she was in Shiva Baby for some reason. I think that she wrote on that too, but I think that she could have a similar vision to like, and again, like Lena Dunham is, she's a tough person to talk about, but I think that she clearly has such an artistic vision and voice. Yeah. And I could see Rachel Sennett having something similar.
Totally.
To that.
Well, and I think it's also like Lena Dunham was low key such of the voice of the millennials. You know what I mean? Like when like 10 years
ago.
And
in a way that like girls didn't age. It's not like that. I mean, obviously, like you can point to like these characters have flaws and are annoying, but it speaks to that millennial time in a way that isn't cringe.
Right,
like it doesn't have the same, it doesn't read the same way that a lot of millennial media does from
that
time.
But what's interesting is like Lena Dunham has, she has become cringe. She has like aged kind of badly, like in the public eye, I feel. And so it's interesting because I watched Girls. I loved Girls when it came out. I had it on box set and then I stopped watching it. And then I was just like, I had such a bad taste in my mouth, honestly, about Lena Dunham that I was just like, I don't even want to watch it. But it's like now we're going to need a new voice of that generation every few years, every 10 years. And so like,
and it can't,
I think
be
Rachel
overlooked
Sennett,
also.
If it can't be Kat Cohen, it should be Rachel Sennett. Like I think.
Yeah. And why not
makes
together?
Sense to me, and why not? And I'm also like, imagine the cast of characters Rachel Sennett is going to be able to acquire
it's
for this
be great.
Show. But it's like, it's just, Lena Dunham in many ways was like the millennial voice. And
also I think that it's so important. You look at a show like that and obviously like they're all beautiful girls. Like Allison Williams is in it. Like obviously it's not like they cast like ugly
but
people.
But they're real
but
people.
They all looked real looking.
Yeah.
And like I think oftentimes when you see rom-coms about 20 somethings coming up and doing, it's like the most beautiful people you've ever seen in your entire life, and it's hard to put yourself in their shoes. But Girls depicted like a grungy, dingy New York reality, which is instantly more relatable.
Seeing the sex scene between Adam Driver and Lena Dunham and being like, that looks awful. I remember just being like, if that's what like sex in my 20s is supposed to look like, I'm not interested. Like I just was like, because it looked like in this grody apartment, and like I remember seeing Lena Dunham's tattoo, like really like big, like her Pangea tattoo or whatever, and Adam Driver's like such a like dick, and he's not really like cute, really, like, at the time, like, it, people hadn't gotten to the point where they think he's hot yet.
Right.
So it's just like you're just looking at these like normal ass looking people who are problematic and messy in their own ways, and they're not in the aesthetic apartment in New York, and it's like, but that's the reality of it. And it's just like, it's important to show those aspects. We can also have, you know, the Carrie Diaries showing us that got canceled, but I love that show. But that showing, you know, who Carrie Bradshaw was before she was Sarah Jessica Parker. And it's like, yeah, and that's,
I also think
the idealistic
that,
view
that's
of,
another show,
you know?
That feels like the 90s girls in a way. And I think I talked about this when I started watching. Maddie started showing me episodes. I had just never seen it. I never really thought that I was going to be interested in it. And then I watched it, and it, I don't know how to explain it. It gave me like this sigh of relief.
I know exactly what it is.
I was like,
because
I was like, they are, they're supposed to be, and also they're in the 90s. So it's like, you think about it being a new thing that 30 is like a young age. Mm-hmm. Like our generation is the one who's rebranding it. But then you think about that being the 90s and Sex and the City, and they're all in their 30s and they're still living like,
and there's just, it
they're
shows
not
that there's just like
married with kids.
Yeah, there's just so much more life to live. Like, and I think also having it set in New York and having these shows set in New York in a lot of ways, because New York is sort of like the modern woman. Like that was sort of how we all looked at New York, and a woman living in New York is a career woman. And like, it's just a different sort of thing, which is again, fine. Like you don't have to be a career woman to be in New York, but it was just, I think it helps seeing, because in New York, we've sort of got this melting pot idea that like you can have women who are from different backgrounds who like come in together and they all bring something different to the table. And we see how each of their lives works in New York and how it's messy. And there are all these like dramatic moments, and it's like, oh my God, there's so much life to live out there. And it, I think if it were done in a suburb or something, like you can't get the same feeling, because it's just like, everyone's going to be the same, you know? And
like, if you set it in Mount Lebanon, what is every crazy weekend? You're going to the saloon or the North Shore. Like, how crazy can it
And, like,
really
people
get?
Aren't coming from other places to as much to, like, live here or grow up here. So it's also, like, in New York, you can have the person who is maybe from another country or even just from across this country, you know? And it's, like, they're bringing with it just a different vibe, a different style, a different way of speaking. And so it's, like, you get a different level. And, like, of course, I mean, Sex and the City could have done a lot better, definitely, in terms of diversity. But it's, like, you get these different stories that you just don't get when your show is set somewhere that's not as metropolitan as like New York. So I think that's why Girls, Broad City, Sex and the City, like these shows are able to do that so well because of where they're placed and like what they have access to there. You know, even Gossip Girl being so different from like, you know, Pretty Little Liars in a lot of ways feels like a CW show, but we put it in this suburb where it's like it limits us a lot. Whereas Gossip Girl, there's a lot more freedom, you know?
Totally.
The stories you can explore. I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, the point of all this was to say that I'm turning 30 in about a month, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm going to go down to Charleston with Anthony and the dogs. I think Kelly might try to come for some of the time too.
That's
but
fun.
A lot of my like college friends are down there, and that way I just think it'll be nice to be in Charleston and just kind of like have a time to like
the dogs
rest
are
and relax.
Do they like the beach?
They've never been to the
beach. Have they been there?
No.
Chuck didn't even go down to the beach when he came to
he was like a puppy
that one time,
and
right?
Remember how much hair he had? So like at time we had just gotten Chuck his first haircut, and they barely cut any off because he was like super young. They were like, we really can't give him a full haircut yet. He's too young. So it was so long and they blew it out. So it was like, he looked like such a puff. All his eyelashes looked like Cindy Lou Who. So taking him to the beach, it just would have been a disaster. But now he's like cut pretty short. So we're going to take them. We're not letting them off leash. Anthony is too scared, but we're going to let them play around on the beach. I'll send videos. It'll be so cute. But anyway, so we're doing that and not sure like what all we'll get into, but it'll be really fun. And then mom was like, what if we took a trip to Nashville this summer to celebrate your birthday? Because when I turned 21, we went on a trip together. We went to California, which was so fun. And this would be great because I get to be with Phoebe too. And I think we're going to try and stay at the Graduate, the like Dolly Parton Hotel in Nashville. Guys, if you haven't seen it, it's so cool. I was just like looking at their Instagram some more. And Trishelle from, you know, last season of The Traitors went and posted all these photos and looked so fabulous.
It's a very nice hotel. But
it's funny because mom was like, well, let's try and center this. Like, is there a show or a concert or something that you'd want to see in Nashville? I'll ask Phoebe. Maybe there's an event that like you'd like and we can plan the trip around that. And so she sends me this event. And this event, Phoebe, I'm sure she didn't send it to you. She sends The Magic of Mushrooms with Paul Stamets featuring Casey Musgraves at the Ryman. Thought it was a concert. Oh. It is a talk, I guess, about the magic of mushrooms featuring Casey Musgraves. Like, okay, mom, what are we going to be getting into? Mom said, I want to have a psychedelic freaking time in Nashville. So anyway, we're doing that. And then I'm also going to New York soon for the Charlie XCX concert.
Yes.
And then I'm going to Savannah this summer for Addie's Bachelorette. Haven't been to Savannah in a while. So excited for that. Yeah.
Is that a popular bachelorette destination?
I don't know. But the place we got is super cool. It's really neat. So I've got some stuff to look forward to, which is nice because, guys, the cold here, too, like, won't stop. And every time we get just, like, faked out that, like, it's over and it's not. Anyway, so I'm just excited. I think it'll be so fun. I haven't even gotten to see Phoebe's apartment. And I know I said we're going to stay at the Graduate maybe, but really, we're going to stay in Phoebe's apartment. And I thought it'd be the most fun to reveal that on the pod so we could get your live reaction.
That is, there's a leak.
Oh my God. Here. And that's why we're going to stay there so we can really get to the bottom of it. Mom and I are going to figure that right out. Don't worry. Good. We're going to call your landlord. Good. We're going to go talk to your neighbors. We're going to be like, we just want to see like what's up. What's up? What is do the you stamina have a carpet? In here? The stamina in this room is crazy and we want to study it for science. That's what we're going to say.
Hormone harmony. Road warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news, with the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Pretty Little Podcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Pretty Little Podcast for 15% off today.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
How did you... All right, let's talk about mayhem.
Okay.
I thought
you were like going to go into something. No, I love it too. But I stand by what I said, that I really do much prefer the first half of the album to the second half.
I think that's fair. I think I still like need time with it because I've only done like a couple listens all the way through. Me and then too. Other than that, I'll like put it on in the car and then I am only hearing like the first couple songs. Yeah. And so it's like, I think that happens a lot with albums where I'm like, I love the first half. I don't really know the second half. And it's like, I don't like the second half. It's just that I've really primarily listened to the first. What helps is that the two first songs are singles, so I can skip those. Yes. Not because I don't like them, but because like I've already... it was the first thing I put on while I was working on Friday and I was like, wait.
Disease.
I can fucking grind when I put music on. Why do I watch the news all day?
That is a great question because if I was watching the news all day, I would be crawling out of the house when it was time to leave because all of the serotonin would be out of my body somewhere
else. I literally
was
like, oh my goodness, I'm getting so much work done.
Sometimes I put headphones on and like listen to Doechii or something. I'm like,
that's why I put my headphones on to listen. And I forgot how much I love Disease. I haven't listened to it in a long time.
I felt the same. I forgot that it was a single. And I was like, wait, this song rocks. And I was like, wait, I've heard this song a million times. But like,
I remember being completely locked in on Disease and then going on Twitter and people like being like, I don't know if I like
which
it.
Which I'm not getting. I'm not getting that. I love Disease. Obviously love Abracadabra. This feels very Fame Monster Gaga, I think. And it feels like a cross between Fame Monster and Art Pop. And mm-hmm. I love that. I think this is the Gaga that we know and love. And I like that we got to explore all these different styles and eras for her. Like, I would never trade them for anything. But I love this. And
I think her voice sounds so good on this album.
Is one of my takes on it, though.
That, like,
go ahead.
I think that, like, Joanne, she probably felt like that was her album to, like, really showcase her voice. It was, like, during A Star Is Born era. Mm-hmm. And, like, before that, I feel like Art, you know, Fame Monster through Art Pop, people were, like, can Lady Gaga sing?
Well, yeah,
like,
because a lot of people aren't looking at music critically, and they're not looking. They're like, if you're using special effects or you're using like a lot of background vocals aesthetics or something like that, then you must not have the talent to just leave your talent as it is. And it's like, well, that's negating the vision, the artistic vision that so many artists put before. Like, you have to get to a point, and this is something that I tell like musical theater singers all the time, is you need to learn that you don't always have to show them how great of a singer you are. And I think that is like, you are a good singer. They know that. Every line doesn't have to be full force, 100%. This is my best singing voice. Like, sometimes it's more powerful to have the little voice crack, or to, you know, soften, thin out your voice on this part and then come in with the full. And it's like, I think that a lot of the best musicians are really good at that. Good at using.
We saw that video of
ways.
The girl doing the Color Purple in the at the high school, and she like went into her head voice instead of making herself go all the way up. And it's like, that didn't take away from anybody watching the video and being like,
she's
amazing.
She's a teenager in high school with such a mature, healthy
vocal
pause decision.
Tangent.
Okay.
Tangent real quick.
Okay.
When you went to go see Gatsby the Musical, did you feel like you came away with a hex?
What?
Well, I guess you didn't, because you didn't see Ryan McCartan.
What the fuck does that mean? No.
Have you seen the drama?
No.
Caroline, how am I looped into this in a way that you're not?
I don't know.
Ryan McCartan right now is on Broadway playing Jay Gatsby.
Okay.
And someone laughed after he got shot.
Okay, that
and
was disrespectful as fuck.
He has been having a crash out over it. He has been telling people, like, in an ironic way, like, not in a real way, but, like, kind of he was trying to have fun with it, like, saying that he was putting hexes on people that laughed.
Okay.
And, like, all this stuff. And, like, he was getting really defensive of the emotional moment that's supposed to be.
Why do
I
feel like him saying that made everything way worse? Why do I have a feeling that made it all way worse?
It's like people, you are talking to people who laughed at you, and then you are giving them more reasons to want to laugh at you. And Wavy Baby,
Grace Lilly.
And then a video comes out of him getting shot, like, from someone's filming it.
Uh-huh.
And
guys,
everybody in the comments
spoilers.
Are like,
spoilers for
everybody
the great freaking Gatsby gets shot.
I won't tell you who did it. Speaking of, I do really like the way that they did
the pool.
It looks
cool.
So cool.
Doesn't it look awesome?
But they were like, okay, so first the video comes out of Ryan McCartan doing it, and people are like, people aren't saying it,
doing
but they
what?
Are saying
dying
it. Like,
or doing a hex?
Dying.
Okay, okay.
He didn't actually, like, he just wrote it in his
story.
Well,
you just kept saying a video comes out of him doing it. I'm like, what the fuck does
sorry,
that mean?
Getting shot, getting okay, shot. Okay. And so we're seeing, like, what people laughed at. And we're like, okay, well.
Is it funny? What's funny about it?
The way that he looks when he, like, does Disney acting.
Well, I would just say it wasn't funny when Jeremy Jordan was doing
it. Well, this is what. Then these videos of Jeremy Jordan and the other guy who's played Gatsby come out doing it, and nobody's laughing. And everybody's like,
do they do it the same way?
No, they like, it looks way more natural. Yeah. And they also, everybody is like, the universal funny part of it, no matter who's doing it, is like them very obviously going to get the towel to like it's actually a knee pad.
Yeah.
So that when they fall, it's like very clear what's happening. But anyway, someone put it in, like, they were like, this is the holy order of Broadway star crash outs, and it's like the Taylor Lauterman post. And it's like any, I think Barrett Wilbur, whatever her name is,
probably.
She has like a crazy story that she posted one time. And Ryan McCartan is up there now.
Wow. I've seen nothing about it, but I obviously need to.
I can't believe that.
Obviously
that makes me feel like a loser.
Why?
What is going on my feed?
Why would that make me feel like a loser? waiting for an answer. Yeah, you don't know. Okay. All right. Hey guys. Hey thespians. I've got your back. Anyway,
my favorite track on Mayhem right now is How Bad Do You Want Me? I think
it is. That's hilarious to me. Phoebe, guys, Phoebe texted me before I had listened to the album. She sends an invisible ink. How bad do you want me?
Me not wanting to spoil the album is hilarious.
And I hadn't listened yet. I like literally woke up, got on the road. I forgot it came out and I didn't listen to it on the way there. And so on the way back, I listened to the whole thing. And anyway, Phoebe had said, How Bad Do You Want Me is low-key like a Taylor Swift song. And I was like, whatever that means, and just like kept driving. And then I'm literally listening. And you know when you're driving, you're not looking at the track that's playing. Like you can't necessarily see the track name. So I'm listening and I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's How Bad Do You Want Me? And I'm like, is this a Taylor Swift song? Is this like a Vault Reputation track? Like, what am I listening literally to right now? And then I look at the track and I'm like, oh my God, I think about your text. I'm like, this is what Phoebe was talking about. And either it's exactly the truth and everybody feels this way, or Phoebe and I have morphed into one, because yes, it sounds exactly like Taylor Swift. And now people are saying that she wrote on it, which I don't think is true.
Which I'm like, I feel like we would have that information. That information would be more readily available.
What's
if that were
her
true
fucking pen name? We look and it's like, what is it? Like Nils?
Siljeborg?
Yeah, I don't know. Like it's some weird bizarro name.
But what I will say about Taylor is like, I feel like this really, obviously she cemented as one of the greats, like obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that there's a melody that is so clearly when we hear it, we're like, that's a Taylor melody. We didn't really like, we knew she was a great before Sour, but I feel like Sour was a moment where it was the first time we had really heard her influence in popular work in a way, like the way that you would hear like the Beatles in like different, like the way that it influences other sounds.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a Lady Gaga song and we're like, that's a Taylor melody Sorry, she's the GOAT.
She's the GOAT.
And I hate to make this conversation about Taylor. I hate to make us talking about Mayhem about Taylor, but, and obviously like,
well,
Lady
we're not
Gaga
making it about Taylor. It's about Lady Gaga. We're just referencing Taylor in a conversation.
Her,
it's part of it.
I haven't finished SNL, but I've seen through both musical acts.
Okay.
And I love her. You know I love her. I don't love her as a host.
No.
But her
performances,
she is such, she just, it's like it, and okay, this is I'm not gonna be mean to Chapel ever, because she'll be mean right back.
Not. Yeah, because she will get our podcast canceled.
Because you guys know
Lindsay
I love her.
Shaw is like the hero of the country because Chapel Rowan decided that our podcast is bullshit, and Lindsay Shaw's like, I've been saying that.
I love her, but I think that we've. And this still stands, but I was reminded watching Lady Gaga last night and then seeing clips from her old SNL performances, I was reminded of like what a high level of artistry she operates at. And it's not that Chapel isn't in the conversation, but it is just like a little like, I only say this because I feel like the conversation around Chapel, because Lady Gaga's kind of been out of a conversation for a little bit, has been like Chapel's.
Well,
and she is in a lot of ways, but there's something about Lady Gaga that is just like, she is on a different plane than everybody else.
Well, here's the other thing. Chapel's like fucking 10 years old. I mean, like that's the other
thing. No, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Like, I was watching clips of Gaga's SNL performances from her first time doing it when she was 23 years old doing Love Game.
Yeah.
Chapel is similar. But I was reminded, I was like, wait, Lady Gaga really was like, she is a once in a generation artist.
Totally.
Like,
and I think,
and I just, it reminded me that like, I think time has let us, it was easier to draw those comparisons, and the comparisons are still there. But I just think we need to remember, we need to put a little bit more respect on our elders' names.
Yeah. I don't know who you've been talking to that hasn't, is the thing that I'm a little bit concerned about right now, is I'm like,
well, no. It's not a matter
world
of people not respecting Gaga. I just mean, it's not as clear of a comparison anymore.
I'll be so real. I honestly did not ever feel like I was comparing the two of them. I know that like the conversations were in the public, but I like never really felt the same. I feel like it's I don't know. I feel like it's, I guess that's what it is I think that Lady Gaga is so well, here's the other thing, is that Chapel doesn't exist without Lady Gaga. And like, yeah. So I think it's impossible to have the conversation about Chapel without acknowledging the space that was left for her. You know what I mean? And like, whereas the space was forged by Gaga and like, it wasn't there at all. Right. And so I think it also required such a level of vision and artistry that like, no shade to Chapel, but she doesn't have to have it the same way. Like, because Gaga was out here making these really artistic performance art sort of choices mainstream. And so we went through this whole thing of like, why the fuck is she wearing that? Why is she acting like that? We don't get it, you know? And Chapel now kind of gets to reap the benefits of Lady Gaga starting that conversation and leaving it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I haven't really thought of them as comparing them for personally, but I agree that like without Gaga, there can't be what Chapel's doing right now. And I'm not to take that away from Chapel, but I do think also like when you don't have to forge your space in that way, you're not gonna, it's not gonna be the same level as artistry as what Gaga's got, where it's like Gaga didn't have a choice but to be like, and she talked such a big game too, where it was like, she didn't have the option to not show up and make everybody talk about her in a way that was good or bad. She didn't care. But like, and also I think Gaga was much more comfortable with being a star and wanted that too. Like, she wanted that part of it. Gaga wanted to be the star that people approach on the streets. Whereas like Chapel's like, well, that's not what I want. And it's like, well, that's my issue. I was like, you don't get it then. Like, that's, you don't always get to have one without the other. Like, maybe you feel like you want that, but like, you could learn from your elders, as you're saying, like, that you don't get to have that. But part of what made Gaga's vision work so well too is that she was like the perfect icon pop star because she wanted that. She wanted to be mm-hmm. notorious and infamous and like, you know, all of that, as much as she maybe saw issue with it. Am I making sense? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think you are. But and it's none of what we're saying. I mean,
I'm not talking shit on either person. I'm just saying
this
is just sort of like an analysis of it. But
I was just reminded like her face and the way that she her entire body a tool in the performance.
I couldn't believe that she could breathe. And the fact that her voice is steady and that mic is on. You know what I mean?
Like, it's reminding me of everything that made our parents be like,
yeah,
kind of weirded out and scared by someone like Lady Gaga.
I will never forget the first time I saw Gaga live, and I was like, why am I going to this Gaga concert? Because at the time it was Let's Play a Love Game, you know, and it was like, they were fun songs, but I was not like dying for Gaga, I guess. And I think the attitude was she was kind of weird and like whatever. And so I think mom got tickets to Gaga, and I remember being like, I don't know why I have tickets to Gaga, but like, want to go. And actually, I think it was Nick Honkala who went with me to Gaga, and we went. And I just will never forget like the way that I felt also like being in there. And she had this moment where she, you know, did her whole Tinkerbell thing where like she has everyone clap for her to bring her back to life, and she's laying on the stage. And she's singing, and she's like, you guys paid so much money to be here. If you think I'm not singing live, you're out of your mind. And she just like sang, and I was like, holy shit. And I remember being there and also looking around at the space and the community that she created for a lot of the queer community who really like showed up.
About that honestly, so much with Bowen last night. I was thinking about, and you texted me something about that, but I was like, in Matt's story, it makes you want to cry thinking about it.
Yes, like, it does. It does. And I wanted to cry when he got to do a sketch with her. I'm like, I mean, to think of Bowen, like, it really does make me cry. And I think for me, that might have been seeing Lady Gaga in high school, might have been the first time, like, I was in theater, but like, that I was like, I was in a queer space and I was looking around and being like, wow, like, it's so amazing and beautiful to see all of these people feel so empowered and comfortable to like live out loud and like dress the way they want to dress. And like,
and it's just crazy that she was able to create that at that time, and also at her age. Like, she was so young.
Yes, she said, and I'll never forget it, like, it gives me chills. She was like, tonight, like, this show is for, it was the Monster Ball. And she was like, this show is for anybody.
Which is crazy that you have to go to that.
I know. She was like, this show, but it's like, I've seen so many concerts and like, I still get chills thinking about this. You know what I mean? It's just like, because she really, it was an amazing experience to get to be there. But she said like tonight, like this show is for everybody who is made to feel like they do not belong, like they are an other, like they are a freak. Tonight, the freaks are on the outside. And it was this moment of like, and I remember just looking around and like, it was like, it felt like being at a drag show, like looking around and seeing the people in costume. And my homeroom teacher, who is a gay man, was there in costume and I passed him. And I just remember thinking,
wait, that's
like,
crazy.
I know, we never talked about it. Like I've seen him at two concerts and I remember seeing him and just being like, you know, it was just a moment for me where I was like, I am, you know, an ally to this community, but like I don't own this community and I'm not like, I'm being here and just like seeing how impactful and meaningful and in a world where like, you know, we grew up in this suburban world where it just like wasn't something you saw every day, you know, because people didn't feel and like, it also makes me so excited to see it the world now and like how this is something we see so much more now. And like, I hope that the people who are like my age in high school are having experiences like that, not just when they get to go to the Monster Ball, you know, or to a con. It's like,
yeah.
But like, she was such a massive part of like that pushing that story, the stories of queer people forward, like, and just Mother Monster, like give, like just
yeah.
being such a,
I was thinking about Bowen, obviously, and having that experience, but also someone tweeted a quote tweeted a video of the performance and was like, they didn't say this in these words, but like, there's a Bowen somewhere who's watching Lady Gaga yeah. on TV do this and is like, that's out there, and thinking Bowen had that experience with her. I know he was like, he wasn't a kid when like he was at school, I yeah. think, with like Matt, but like Gaga,
who
made
she
that
was
community
for young queer people, like, and older queer people, like that's the other thing, the point of me mentioning my homeroom teacher too, it's like there were people my age, there yeah. were people in their 20s, and there were people in their 40s who, like, if that's the first time that like somebody got to feel like the freaks were on the outside and they could be themselves in here at that age too, just was like, I just remember it being like a really eye-opening, moving experience for me where I just was like, Lady Gaga is like important. Like, not only is she so talented and like gifted and, but she is so important what she is doing. And like,
yeah. And that's how we, not again to equate Chapel's success to Gaga,
right,
paving the
all,
way, but
all.
Like, that's how we get a Good Luck Babe being a radio hit, because that's not the kind of song that would be on the radio ever.
No. And there's so much darkness in the world. Like, we can look around and be so depressed and like watch the news and be like, God fucking damn it. Like, this is just so backwards and insane. But it's like, there are also those moments like on SNL last night, knowing that Bowen Yang got to introduce,
I don't think this
Gaga.
Is really like a quote, but there's this sentiment that came out of the AIDS epidemic where people were like, how did the community get up every day and like go on? And they were like, we would get up and fight and try to protest and beat the illness, and then we'd go out and we'd dance. You don't stop, like, just because things are bad doesn't mean you can't.
Exactly.
You have to feel guilty about going out and dancing.
You
have to
find
and enjoying
the joy. Like, find your spaces yeah. and your people and your joy. And I think, you know what, that maybe that's one of the reasons I love Chromatica so much. I know you don't love it as much, but like, I do think that was her message with Chromatica. She was like, more than ever, she was like, I was gonna wait, and she did wait a little bit to release it because she was like, I want us all to be able to dance together, but like, we also need that. Like, we're all yeah. you know, the world was sick with this pandemic, and she released Chromatica, and it was like such a moment where we got to like, but it was like, we want to be in a club. And I honestly think if Chromatica had had its moment in a like pre-COVID world, I think we would be looking at it like an art pop. But because of time and space, we just don't. I do think with this album, Mayhem, Gaga has here created an album that's impossible to sing in karaoke. And I think that was part of her idea. She was like, you know what? This one? I don't think so. You know just what? You guys me. Aren't taking this one. Yeah, no. There will be one song on here that you could sing at karaoke, and it's called How Bad Do You Want
Die
Me?
With a Sile.
Die with a Sile. Die with a Sile. I don't like Die with a Smile. I don't like that it's the last song in the album.
Me either. But what I will say is two things. One, it fits better on the album than I had anticipated. Once you get to it,
from
it makes
start to
more
finish,
sense.
And that makes sense why the first half is more I like better, because it's just a more fun half of the
yes.
album.
But two is she does historically, and I'm mainly thinking about art pop, so mm-hmm. I don't know if this is actually a pattern on all the albums, but like the last couple songs on a stretch of an album for Gaga sometimes are head scratchers.
Yeah.
Like with art pop, dope. Listen, I'm an art pop girl. It's my favorite Gaga album. Nothing will ever change that. That album is like probably my top five albums of all time. I hate the song Dope. I hate it.
Really?
I don't like it. Doesn't do it for me. I don't love when Gaga leans into that sound. Mm. I know that she's such a good singer, so like I get it, but it's just not for me. Mm-hmm. But that stretch of Dope to Gypsy to Applause, it's mm-hmm. like, how is that? I don't know how you,
yeah,
which I think is the order. Like Applause, it makes sense to end on there, but it also could have fit anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, would have been a great start as well.
Gypsy
or
feels
middle.
Like the last song on the album. Mm-hmm. Like by the time you get to the end of it, it's like, that's the end of the record.
Yeah.
And then Applause starts, and it's like, wait, is the Eras Tour about to?
Well, yeah, it literally
begin?
It feels like a beginning, or it could be like, okay, are you tired? Let's put it in the middle of the album, wake you back up.
Yeah, I agree.
I love the songs she chose to sing, and I love how she did them. I mean, like, this is an example, because I was like, for anyone who's like a musical theater person, hosting and being the musical guest isn't really that hard. Like, it's like, that's like a night on Broadway, you know what I mean? But for someone like Gaga, I'm like, yeah, no, those musical numbers would put me out for the rest of the night. Like, I mean, the way that she just like gives every fucking ounce of what she's capable of doing to that time. And like everything. I mean, I love that she chose Killa. I'm obsessed with that song. That's one of my favorites. And I think it's just like the vision, exactly what you're saying, the vision, the artistry. It feels like the Gaga who used to put that on the forefront of everything. And not that right. It's not that she stopped doing that, but like
she acknowledged it on SNL.
She's like, I'm an actress now. Like she needed to be more palatable to the masses for A Star Is Born, honestly.
Well, we also went from Joanne to Chromatica.
Right.
Chromatica didn't have an opportunity to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So like it has, I mean, and if you look at it like that, it really has been like, I mean, I was in high school when Joanne came out. So
that's
it's
crazy.
Been a minute since
yeah
that. Since we last saw Gaga in her traditional sense of how we remember her.
Right. It'll be interesting to see now, because when she first started doing that, people were really hesitant to like buy into it. So it'll be interesting to see how it is now, like with people who maybe aren't like old school Gaga fans, who aren't familiar with her whole journey, who like maybe found her during Joanne. Or Chroma, you know, it'd just be interesting to see
It's giving a Swifty who started being a Swifty during Folklore and Evermore and then was like, wait, I hate Midnight.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay, well, this is actually the brand.
this is the brand. Hate to bring it to you.
So either okay, did you see what Charlie posted about how she was like, all of her albums will change back for a reason? All of her album artwork. Did you see that?
Yeah, I interpreted it more as I don't think there is a reason yet. I think she's just saying I changed them for a reason.
You're giving Taylor Swift,
and I'll
though.
Change them back when there's a reason.
Charlie.
Yeah.
You
she's
talk
never going to see it that way. She thinks she's being like high
Swift.
Art. She
I
thinks,
know.
She's like she thinks it's high art. And I'm like, yeah, an Easter egg is high art.
That's exactly what's happening right now. She's like, everything I do is a pop-us. And it's like, okay, same with Big Al.
The next thing that you put on here about Charlie, here's what I want to say. I don't want her to play the White Witch.
Shut the fuck up. I do.
I don't.
Why?
I want Hunter Schafer to play the White Witch.
Because the Chronicles of Narnia is so dear to you.
No. I don't think she has the look. I think it would take me out of it.
I think it would be so, honestly, cunty if she went bleach blonde, bleach eyebrows, and did the White Witch.
I'm also sorry, but...
I look so hot with snow up my nose. Like, it is giving the White Witch.
Mm. It's not for me, but if that is what happens, then I will be happy for you. But also, I just want to point out, Maya Hawke got a lot of flack in an interview the other day because she's a Nepo baby. The other day, it was a couple weeks ago, when she said that there have been conversations by production companies that they look at people's social media followings when they pass people sometimes.
That makes me sick!
That's becoming a more and more common thing. And
yeah, true about Broadway.
If Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter is having that's affecting her career moves, then think about how it's affecting everybody else.
Yeah.
And I just think I expect something different from Greta. And I hope if Charlie is the White Witch, she better be like, I better not be thinking about anybody who could be better.
I think she'd kill Loki. I really, really do.
I want it to be Hunter Schaefer.
Well, that would be great, too. I would also love that. But I just haven't seen any chatter about that. So I didn't, like, build that up in my head at all. I had Charlie built up in my head. So I'm not shutting you down. That would be great. Mm. I would love to see it. But I also would love to see Charlie. And what's with this pitting women against each other, Phoebe? Speaking of interesting things is that Tyga and Madeline Pesh are dating, apparently. Allegedly.
Yes. Here's what I hate to say.
Her last name.
I can't
name.
Bring myself to care about either of them.
Okay.
I don't care.
Cheryl Blossom. I kind of do care what Cheryl Blossom's up to.
Yeah, but Madeline Petch is not. Sorry, Madeline Petch. I know you are Cheryl Blossom, but you don't really give a Cheryl Blossom on the reg.
That's true. Okay.
Now, if Cheryl Blossom were dating Tyga, I would have questions.
I'd be interested in. That I would be interested in, okay? Well, let's talk about traitors.
What are you doing in Riverdale?
Tyga, this is not your usual jaunt. guys, let's talk about the traitors finale.
It was perfect.
Okay, I guess. But what I have to say is, it perfect in the way that the most boring episode should be the finale of a show like this. Like, it says something when it's like, and the most boring thing will be the final episode of such an action-packed season like we have had. Where, I mean, every episode
Except
has been so insane. This feels like the right...
Wait, I saw a video of this girl. She has, like, a little, like, I think it's a camera for when she's out of the apartment for her dog. Like, mm-hmm. It's on, like, her little mantle. But it was recording while she was watching Traitors, and she captured the moment her boyfriend's working at like a desk behind her with his back to her, and she is watching the moment that they reveal Britney's vote.
Oh my God.
And she shoots out of her seat like her team just won the Super Bowl. I was really happy with everybody that won. I was really happy with how pretty much everything went. I think Britney botched it.
Okay.
I know you said that that's what you would have done.
It's what I would have done.
She actually, at first, I was completely with her. Like, she handled the Gabby thing perfectly.
That was the perfect choice, was to say, Gabby's a faithful. I'm so glad. And yes. I'm glad she did it at the table. Like, I thought that was the right move. I think that all of her moves were ultimately the right moves to make. I don't think there's any world where she could have won. I just don't. But like,
I do think that's true. I think she went
really
a little
hard. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I think all of her moves were the right moves, but I think that she went a little bit too like smug villain at it at the round table. And especially when she was like, don't call for me unless I send for you. It was like, and this is giving like, I'm the bad guy, which is fine. But
especially after she had been like, I felt like she was kind of getting to a position, and she had been doing this because she was faithful for so long.
Right.
Like, she had a relationship with Dylan, and I think even Gabby.
Yeah.
Were like, I think they did trust her.
Well,
and
it
they
seemed like they were considering
at least. And then she kind of, Britney like changed her tune a bit. Britney could have easily deflected to Ivor because suspicion was already there because of Dolores.
Yeah.
That's like a quarter of the battle.
I mean, I would have also been like, we need to make Dylan look like, but like, I just would have done that because I think that at the end of the day, Dylan being there at the fire pit would have meant Britney never would have won. So like, I think I would have been like, look, there's a world where we get to the fire pit. And if Dylan is there, I don't get any money. But if Dylan is not there, I could win. And I still think that's true.
Oh, I guess that's true.
So, like, that's where I'm like, I still believe that was the right call, like, in terms of strategy. Like, but she was working with nothing. She, like, I mean, she honestly there, it would have been so fucking hard for her to win. Like, it just would have been. Especially, she botched it, really, when she had her insane emotional reaction, and which I understand her reaction to when Danielle got eliminated. But I also think Danielle
had instilled the fear of God in Brittany.
Yes.
Like, truly had, like, Brittany had a reaction, like, she was about to go home to her parents, and she, like, had an F on her paper, and she was going to be in so much trouble.
I mean, yes. I understood it, but I was just like, we can't be doing this right now. Like, it makes it look like, but I also was like, okay, Danielle a little bit hinted at it, because she did leave and say something nice about everybody except for Brittany, which, but I thought, here's where Brittany kind of messed it up. When Dylan said, it just seems so personal with you and Danielle. That was Brittany's opportunity to say, because it is. Because I'm sure he didn't watch Reindeer Games. She could have been like, I've spent the last however many weeks trying to gain her trust back. And we are genuinely friends outside of this game. Whether or not that's true, that is what she should have said.
Which we find out. Danielle thinks that she is, like, and even at the reunion, I was like, you are not reading the audience well at all.
She was driving me insane.
Did you see the TikTok that they made where they were like, I'm passing the phone to whatever?
Mm-mm.
Starts with Gabby, goes through a bunch of people, gets to Danielle. So Danielle's passing the phone back to Gabby. And she does this impression of Gabby's voice and is like, and I'm really smart. And, like, says it in her voice and then says, but I love it. Like, whatever. Like, tries to make it also nice. But, like, she's just comes across as so,
Danielle,
like,
is not funny.
Condescending.
She's not funny. So when she tries to make jokes, they don't hit. Like, they don't read. Yeah. If you're not funny, stop trying to be funny. You know what I mean? And the other thing is, I thought it was insane. I honestly thought the reunion was a little bit lackluster, which I think we thought about the last Traitors reunion as well. It's kind of boring.
I think I watched, like, the first, I think I stopped watching with, like, 10 minutes left. Because I was just like, okay, there's nothing I care about really anymore. I wanted the Brittany Danielle stuff.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I did not love, and this is where I've thought about this from a game perspective. And what makes this show so interesting is that half the people there are looking at it like a game and the other half are looking at it like they're hanging out with friends trying to solve a mystery.
Yeah.
And so they get so hurt. And it's like, you just can't. It has to be a game in your mind or you're going to get hurt. Like, if you want to leave this experience having made friends and having this, like, be a gorgeous experience for you, then you have to look at it as, like, everything is fair. You know, it's a game. But I don't know what I think about Danielle swearing on her grandkids' lives.
I don't either. And then trying to, like, make it seem like that was, like,
hell yeah. And then she goes, this was crazy. And they're like, really? Like, you would do that? Like, it just seems so,
I feel
like
maybe she had, I feel like she had to have that reaction because at this point, before the reunion had filmed, people had already started mentioning, like, when it would be revealed that they were eliminated, they were kind of bringing up, like, I didn't think she was because she was doing this.
Yeah.
And people were reacting to that. So I think that she had to go in with an energy of, like, yeah, because it's not Danielle to go in contrite. Like, it's not like her.
So true. I mean, she's not going
to
apologize for anything that she did in this game. And that's the thing, is like, for her. But I'm like, I don't know. That is a place where I'm like, that made me, well, I would have wanted to believe her too. Cause I would be like, that's crazy. But she says, well, I mean, it wasn't a life-changing amount of money, but, like, it could have, helped my grandkids. Shut the fuck up. It wasn't a life-changing. Meanwhile, Gabby's over here. Like, if I won, then me and Robbie could get married. Like, it
is
a life-changing amount of money.
Did you see Robbie's story after when Robbie was, like, texting this guy, I guess, to try to get the it was, like, literally, like, within 12 hours, she was like, what, like, is there any way you could, I think they were like, I don't know. They were getting out of LA for something. She was like, is there any way that you can make the clues spell out Gabby, will you marry me?
Oh.
And he was like, on it. I'll do it.
Oh,
and
my God.
That's how they got the, like, imagine them, like, imagine that that's, like, their morning thing. Like, they do the mini crossword together.
I mean, and insane.
One morning, it's that.
That is just.
And Gabby was probably like, oh, that's crazy.
Scale. I know.
Gabby was probably like,
that's
like,
I'm
so
embarrassed.
Weird that was.
I love them. I thought it was so sweet, but it just was like, Danielle, you sound like such a bitch.
I was like, wait, did they actually get married?
Yes.
I know that they did, but when I first saw the pictures, I was like, is this just like
a Joe and Maddie type of thing?
Like a stunt kind of thing. Like, yeah. Gabby and Robbie seem like they would do that when I realized that they, and especially after watching The Traitors, when Alan asks what that amount of money would mean to Gabby. So, and the fact that, so sweet.
So sweet. I loved it. Honestly, what a great season of Traitors. Tom Sandoval is over people bringing up his cheating. That was the one thing every time it was brought up, whether it was on Watch What Happens, who was it with him?
Kyle.
God, what a fucking nightmare rotation that was. Kyle and Tom Sandoval. Jesus
Christ. Did you see the gift that Tom brought Andy, though?
No.
Which is kind of funny. It was a bear, a teddy bear, that he was like, I heard that you really liked my singing, and I thought this might be a good gift for like you and your son or something. And you press a button and it's him singing. It's him from the Traitors.
Oh, doing my his, like, God, I cannot.
And like, Tom, if you can just... I know that Bravo Nation is never really going to forgive you. It's never going to happen. And we're always going to think that you are a slimy little guy. Because like, you are. But what I will say is, if you can lean into this and stop getting so defensive when your past is brought up.
That's the thing.
There's stuff. This could work for you.
There's a reason you were on television for so long and people genuinely enjoyed watching you. You know, people enjoyed watching you and Schwartz and your little antics, and they liked having you guest on other shows. Like, you guys were, I remember when they went to, I think it was Winterhouse, and like the two of them were such great guests too. Like, they cleaned up and they were like, let us do, like, they were really like,
they're better guests than Craig.
Like, good fucking, I know. And so it's like, there are redeeming qualities there. Unfortunately, what really takes us out of it, Tom, is the fact that you can't own what you did. And like, he still won't, like, he'll admit to, like, you know, cheating on Ariana, but he can't understand why it was such a big deal. And like, that is where it's
he's still gonna throw a little slight at Ariana on, like, Watch What Happens about the house. Tom, move on.
If you genuinely wanted to be likable and wanted to like reclaim your name, then you would not be acting like this every time it's brought up. Like, you have to just, like, this is your story. You unfortunately made this your story. And so by your own decisions, you did not have to. It's not like this was thrust upon you, this unfair narrative. You know, that happens to people, not to you. You made this happen and now you don't want to own it, and that's why we all can't let it go, because you won't just say, you won't just fall on the fucking sword and be like, you know what, I was a piece of shit, but I'm working on it, I'm trying to be better, I own it, I understand why you all think I'm a piece of shit, I get it, like, I did fuck up, I was an asshole, I wasn't nice to Ariana, just own it, and guess what, this would have been over. But the fact that you won't stop trying to defend yourself means that we can't move on from it, you know, because it's just like, if you could just own that it's part of your narrative now, and Alan Cumming is going to make jokes about it, that's the only reason people know who you are, dude.
So Lisa Rinna has been trying forever to tell you, to tell everybody, to own it.
Own it.
Own it.
Let's get into Southern Hospitality. Oh my God. I mean, what a finale. I'm sorry. But the other thing is, watching this show, there is nothing like a Charleston party. And the thing, I feel like you need to have an understanding of Charleston to really get this show, and the way that this rumor mill is working, and the way that, like, because Charleston, like, being in school there, it is the smallest city. It feels so, the school is one block away from like all of the bars. Like, everybody knows everything. Everybody sees everything. All the drama in this city is happening in like a 5-mile radius. Like, and everyone, there is like 1 degree of separation between you and anybody else.
And it's not like, I feel like some people who don't go, like, obviously they know that it's not as big as like a New York, but they see it as like it's walkable and like Joe doesn't need a car and like all this stuff. But they're not understanding that like it's truly, especially when you pair like where they live and then working on King Street, it's not like they have to walk from like one end of the city to the Battery.
No,
it's like, it's truly,
I mean, the fact,
and it's whereas like in New York, it's like you can, a bunch of people can live in New York and all be friends, but they live in a bunch of different boroughs. So their drama is all kind of isolated.
Right. It is all like, odds of you being at the same bar are pretty good. Like, odds of you running into somebody while you're out are like almost 100%. Like, it's just, I mean, even
it's
when,
it's giving like hometown.
Yes, it is 100% that kind of vibe. So it makes the drama so much better. I also just love the porches. There used to be nothing I loved better than going to a Charleston house for a party and being on the porch. You would all just go stand out on the porch and like all these scenes with Maddie sitting out on the porch in the morning. And like, I just, oh, it's just so Charleston. It makes me think of being in college and just how fucking fun it was. So I can't wait to go back. But that prom.
Let's talk about Grace Lilly.
Okay. Grace Lilly showing up with Oisin. My Phoebe, I was, Anthony's in the room. I was like, oh my God. He was like, what's happening? I was like, I can't believe this. What are you doing? You fucking crazy bitch, Grace Lilly. And I mean that in the most endearing way. Like, what are you thinking? We just saw you have this conversation with Maddie where you said you want to take accountability and apologize to Eva, your best friend's roommate. You can't go to your best friend's house because of decisions that you made. And now you're completely flipping 180 degrees after Maddie told Eva and told people that you said you wanted to take accountability. She was like bragging about you having your back as she always fucking does. And you walk into this prom with the very man that you need to apologize for, knowing that Maddie and her roommates are gonna fucking be there. And then you lie and say that Maddie sucked this guy's dick in Tulum in a room full of people and cameras. And then you double down on it at the reunion.
And then you say that you're not my best friend.
I was.
And then we floored. Go to the reunion and it's like basically Maddie and Grace Lilly are fine. And it's like, unfortunately, we all do have a friendship like that.
I don't. Hey, I don't.
Not on the scale of Grace Lilly, but I just mean that like you have that friend that is just like ride
know.
Or die, I guess.
You do, I guess, have a friend that's like ride or die. I think people like Grace Lilly. I mean, do I know people like Grace Lilly? Sure. It is. It's crazy, though. It's crazy that there are people. And I'm like,
even people in my life wouldn't have done quite what Grace
Lilly
did. Well,
I don't know. I was just like,
to me.
Yeah. It is insane. And the way that Maddie sticks up for her. Like, I love Maddie Rees. I hate how
she wins the show.
Yeah.
There's this idea that you watch the show and you actually don't like anybody on it, and then Maddie wins you back every episode.
Well, Maddie is not unlikable.
Exactly. But I feel like you like she gets lost in the fray of everybody else. So when you're thinking about the show, you're like, everybody on the show sucks, but it's a great show. And then you watch and you're like, Maddie is actually like enjoyable.
And Maddie has such a unique perspective because Maddie is sober.
She's sober.
So everybody on this show, we are working in nightlife. Most of the time, the people on the show you can assume are under the influence of something, okay?
And Unless they're on the clock.
Even if they're on
fired.
The clock. I'm just going to say, I went to school here and Republic has a reputation.
No, I'm just saying because that was a big point of drama.
Well, yeah.
This season.
And I'm like, you can assume this about any of these people, okay? So Maddie is looking all around her like, what? Like they're just people. It's like everybody around her is insane, so it makes her look insane because she's the only one who's not acting like this, and she's the only one who's like, "What I'm," and she's trying to see the best in people. And it's like, as soon as you put drugs and alcohol into the mix, these people aren't the people you're defending anymore. Like,
it's like what I said about on Summer House, when someone stands up to Kyle,
yeah,
it feels like that person is crazy.
Yes,
it does. Feels like they are like
it's
because
like
they're
this
going.
Gaslighting.
Everybody just lets Kyle act like a tyrant and act how he acts. So when someone's like, wait, you don't get to call me two-faced when you're the one fucking rage texting me and then acting like things should be fine this weekend at the Hamptons, saying like, hey, Paige, like, you don't get to do that. But suddenly I'm the crazy one for like putting your feet to the fire for fucking once.
What did you think about Molly? I am not a Molly fan. And like,
I don't love her either. She's giving she wants to be on the show. So she has to like be involved. She's kind of giving, I could be wrong, but she's kind of giving Ariana when Ariana first got on Vanderpump and that she was kind of outside. She was connected to the drama, but she wasn't actually implemented in a lot of the stuff. So we would get these confessionals of Ariana kind of giving us the lay of the land and swaying the way that you might think about certain things. And then you'd actually, this is where they're different though. Ariana was like cool girl, not going to get involved really, unless it actually had to do with her.
Right.
Molly isn't just stirring the pot from the confessionals.
No.
She's actively doing things that are hurting the people around her in a way where like she's trying to be the good guy.
And she wants people to think that's what she's trying to do. Are you sure? Well, okay, I see it a little differently. I feel like, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I think I see it as like she likes being the mean girl. I think she wants, she's used to being the main character.
Yes.
And in the show, she's not. And like, so all of these things, she thinks they're like iconic moves. Like I was like, low key, I'm sorry, Grace, Lily walking in and telling you, you look beautiful. And you're saying, I know. I was like, okay, why are you like immediately being a bitch though? And then Grace Lily going, huh?
She's
I love that.
She's perfect.
What did you just say? Can we go talk? What the hell is that? So guys told you you're pretty. You're a fucking bitch. Back to me. And Molly's like, yeah, I'm a, and
I just mean, I'm not talking about that more. I agree with you on that. Yeah. What I mean more is when they're at the bar and they hear about the stuff that's going on with Will and Emmy. It's like, she's the mean girl, but when she's with a group, she wants to give girls girl. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my gosh, can you believe let's like discussing in that way. She is a mean, like that is, but I just mean like she, that's how she's stirring the pot with her friends in a way that there's a little bit of like plausible deniability.
Well, and then I also,
if that
just
makes
like,
sense.
Yeah. I also just thought she was like being so mean at the reunion too. Like, here's the thing. As much as Grace Lily drives me insane.
And you're not
the
in
outward
it. Like, this isn't
laughing
you yet.
At Grace Lily, who by the way is like sitting on the side that I'm sure you'd be, you'd love to be sitting on. Like Grace Lily, just like talking about the music and Molly like bursting out laughing and being like, she's so bad, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I know we all can laugh at her, but like you look really mean. Like it doesn't look like.
And people, Molly, people aren't watching the show for you and they're not going to start if this is
if
like
this
your
is
vibe.
Like your vibe, which it's fine. Like it's, there's certainly a place for it and it's good TV sometimes, but it's also a little bit one note. Like I'm not seeing the moments mm-hmm. that I need to see from Molly
exactly.
for me to like. Like
it's like with Grace
behavior.
Lily, the reason she's so well, first of all, she's one of a kind.
She's out of,
but
she's
like,
larger than life.
She has
genuinely
the ups and downs of like there are moments, but there's also moments where she brings you back and you're like, wait,
yes.
Sometimes she, it's like kind of like Catherine from Southern. I don't mean to keep comparing, but like I'm trying to think of examples. Catherine on Southern Charm, she's so crazy. Like mm-hmm. there's so much going on there, but then there are these moments where she has like, especially later on when she's like kind of had distance from Thomas mm-hmm. and she's having these moments of giving advice to her friends and it's like, wait,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I know that you're gonna act crazy in a couple right. hours when like you're at a party, but like right, like there are these moments, and I think Grace Lily is similar, like that's why she is watchable. Mm-hmm. Molly, if you're not able to give us the other side of the coin,
right,
you're gonna give like one season
exactly
vibes.
And yeah, and I mean exactly, and it does stink because it feels like those moments are how you get airtime, because like Siobhan we barely see this season and they're mm-hmm. sort of like this duo, and I think Molly has figured out that the only way to get that airtime is like acting like this, but it's just unfortunately then that's all we see of you, so like we don't
right.
know you, and that's interesting. What do you think?
Need to like actually get involved with the drama
right.
rather than just like I don't know.
One thing I'm thinking about the prom. So we get to the prom. We're kind of jumping around, but we get to the prom and they're all going to go confront, or they're like, Austin is confronting Will about what Will did. Will,
this is my complaint with Austin. You need to be willing, if you're going to bring the drama to the table,
yeah.
you have to be the one. And also it's like, it can't even be like, well, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just telling you guys, you're on a reality
show. You're on
a show.
You're their
you
cameras.
Can't,
like,
you can't tell TJ and Bradley this thing and then be surprised when they want to go.
You also can't tell them anything anyway and be surprised when they talk about it, because those two are the biggest shit stirrers in Charleston, if you ask
right.
me. Like, I think mm-hmm. TJ needs to take a seat. Like, I think it's a little bit much from TJ, and I thought at the reunion it was like, I understand this is hard for you, TJ, but he's missing the point. Like, he's missing this, like, what if Joe was really struggling with his sexuality and you just outed him like that in Charleston? Like, that would
a city where you've spoken about how it's not easy to be a gay
so
man in
as
Charleston.
A gay man in Charleston who's experienced that, why would you, your best friend, why would you push that on him? And then they're also missing this other piece of it. Not
what
to
if
like,
that was a moment where Joe was trying to figure something out? Maybe he did think he
yeah.
might have feelings for you, and you actually are in love with him. You've just ruined
it by
any chance of
exactly.
that.
And the other thing is, it's like, I know TJ's like, well, this was a moment that I was having. And I think what we're not acknowledging and what they were kind of dancing around at the reunion is that Joe's like, I don't remember any of it. So if we were touching, that wasn't consensual. You know, that's the other piece of
yeah.
this. And they keep dancing
you
around
really
that.
Think about that. Yeah.
Where like, Maddie says things like, I don't even know why we're talking about this on TV. Joe saying things like, I can't tell you a single thing that happened that night, but we can talk about it in this way. But then you go and tell everybody and it's like, well, if you remember everything, one of us was incapacitated, one of us wasn't. And I think that is, Nick Viles kind of brought that up a little bit. It's come up a few times. It wasn't really hit on at the reunion, but I'm just like, there's also that piece of it that is valid. And like, where TJ, maybe you should have stopped it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to put that on TJ, but I'm just like, it's not like, I don't know.
I feel like TJ's treating it like it's black and white and it's not.
Yeah, it is not black and white. And Joe is, if Joe still wants to have a friendship with you, TJ, then you just need to say okay. Like, because given what happened between you guys, whether it was consensual, whether he was meant it and it was like a genuine thing or he thought you were a girl, whatever it was, like, if he's willing to just move on and be best friends again, then I think that TJ, it's in your best interest to do the same. I understand you're in love with him, but he isn't gay. So if he's not gay, you know, that it's unfortunate, but it's a very real thing in Charleston where they were talking about how like there's so many straight guys who hook up with gay men. And it's like, right. TJ, I know this isn't the first time you've probably experienced something like this. And to do it in front of cameras in this way, it's like, I don't know. I think it was not a great storyline for TJ. I think TJ does a lot of shit stirring on this show. The Will and Emmy stuff, like, I understand we're on a television show, but it just also feels like it's just the weirdest thing. And Joe said something interesting. He's like, if TJ had it his way, everybody on the show would be single. And I think that's true. TJ does not want these people to be in relationships because then he doesn't have them the same way. And
right.
I mean, it's sad, but like,
I agree.
That is, you gotta grow out of this a little bit. This like needing to talk about everyone's bullshit with everybody and then being like, but I'm bringing the justice, I'm the harbinger of justice and people are calling
that's
me the villain.
That's not what's happening.
And it's like, well, Emmy had a really good point.
Look at how Emmy is. I mean, I know that, like, I think Will is cheating and I think that all of this is crazy, but you also need to have a minute, TJ, of, like, look at how someone you're claiming is your friend.
Yeah.
Is she's having a physical reaction on stage to all of this that is happening.
Yes.
And you have now aired it. It's national television.
Yes.
You have, like, and I'm not saying this is, Will is completely at fault for his own actions, but I think there's a level of protection that you, as her alleged friend, should be taking so that she doesn't have to feel this way on cameras.
Well,
she was having that moment of, like, being in the reunion and everybody in there is either laughing at her or yelling at her or making her feel worse than she probably already feels.
I did feel bad that Will wasn't there to have her back. Like, I think Will's a coward and I think Will...
Fucking coward.
Coward.
I thought he didn't go to New York.
The fact that he was there
and he could watch Emmy being treated like that and having that reaction.
Emmy wanted to be out there. She's like, he just couldn't do it. I'm like, can you? Because you were barely able to speak through your like hyperventilating.
You're her boyfriend and you don't want to go out there and be like, can we cut the cameras for a second? I'm going to talk to Emmy. We're going to calm her down. Like,
yeah.
You let your girlfriend humiliate herself on TV while you stood back there while she's up there defending you.
Yes. For you having your back. And then I thought it was wild. I mean, us introducing this new information that they lied about Trevor cheating on Maddie last season. That was crazy.
I was a little bit like, hey,
but it's
Andy,
out of nowhere.
Let it go.
When
let
Andy
it,
was like,
up.
I want to talk about what's happening this season. I was like, I want to talk about this a little
like,
bit longer.
Hey, can we have a team model?
I want to hear about this a little bit. But it is insane.
If Watch What Happens has to be longer, it has to be longer. You're the one who decided to put this story in the Watch What Happens.
Give them a real
and
fucking
give us more
reunion.
Than 11 episodes.
Exactly.
I realized today that it's fucking 11 episodes. Are you kidding me?
Next season, I think we're going to get a whole new Southern Hospitality in terms of double this.
Especially because I know that you wanted to talk about Southern Charm.
Yeah.
But I think we can skip it because I didn't even finish
it's
the
okay.
episode.
It's okay. I think it
bored.
Is boring. I think... Yeah, I agree. But I did think it was insane that Shep is wearing butt pads that Rodrigo gave him. And that's what he's wearing. Do you think he's wearing them because they're his only clean underwear? Or do you think he packed them specifically because he likes how his ass looks when he wears them? And he was like, well, Sienna's coming. I want to have some junk in the trunk. Like, what? The fact that Shep was wearing padded underwear for his breakup with Sienna.
Did you see the way that the producers,
brilliant.
Like... we see the little like name. It says Sienna, Shep's girlfriend.
And then it and switches then she to says, ex-girlfriend.
She says, I don't think we were in love. And it immediately switches to ex-girlfriend.
I love, well, I thought the editing on Southern Hospitality for their finale was fabulous. With this,
yeah,
like,
it was great.
2 days, you know, the red and the like horror movie font was cracking me up.
But I am like, if we needed to do this, we could have probably fit another episode between
the last episode of prom.
I'm saying
this is a two-episode finale. This was a to-be-continued. Give me the to-be-continued that we give the Salt Lake Ladies, because this show deserves it. Like, it really does. And the reunion could have been more than one part, and I would have been seated for it. Because I want to know. But, I mean, I thought it was just crazy. But I'm like, that is such a moment. And Andy did skimp over it, unfortunately, where it's like, okay, but we're getting a pullback of the curtain to see the character of these people, and it explains and informs a lot of what has happened this season. Like, if these people are capable of literally fabricating a lie like this and telling somebody to help them, who's to say that TJ isn't doing that with... I mean, I think Will cheated on Emmy, but I'm like, I don't know that these people have good intentions necessarily. I think that they know what is right and wrong. They think they know what justice looks like. They want to be the one to bring it because they want to have their moment. And they're going to orchestrate it. I think they're taking the fact that they're on a reality show a little bit too seriously. And they're saying, well, this will be a really good story, so let's do this on camera. You know, they're really plotting and planning, and that's fine. It's great TV.
Yeah.
But it's also like, okay.
Part of, like, if you guys are going to be the Vanderpump, you just got to let it. You guys will be able to do enough.
Oh, yeah.
What we want to see what will happen, I trust.
Oh, for
sure. You don't have to fabricate it.
It's crazy.
Hey, I'm not unhappy it happened. Obviously, I think it will inform the next season beautifully.
I think it will be great. I think that a lot of one thing I'm loving about Southern Hospitality really is like the representation we're seeing, especially in a Charleston-centered show. So, like, I think it's amazing. Although, you know, I have opinions on the Joe and TJ of it all. I think the conversations we see Michael's having, I mean, Michael's on the reunion talking about his mom. I was like weeping. Like,
I love him.
Just these conversations are so important. Like, having this conversation where you get to see these two guys like define their relationship in a real way and just share this moment.
And seeing how Andy loves it. The way Andy, like, and I also think it's so, like, the way that Andy, and the fact that he's able to articulate to Michael's, because I don't think Michael's maybe saw it for what it is, but Andy as an older gay man can be like, what you're doing, this doesn't happen, and it feels regular for you because this is your generation, but like what you're doing is this doesn't, and it hasn't even happened even on my network,
right?
Like, I've been trying to get these stories to be told, and it's hard, and you're doing the work.
And I think there's a big difference between showing like Lisa Vanderpump doing Pride every year and like having a float and supporting the gay community. That's awesome, but it is a spectacle for the show in a lot of ways.
And it's not examining the experience of someone. It's just like celebrating
the hardships and the reality. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like,
that's what I mean.
To have this show that's instead showing it also sort of how we've talked about Schitt's Creek, like just showing a gay relationship without it being like, and it has to be rocked by this tragedy or this struggle, where it's like, we're seeing equal screen time for the, you know, heterosexual relationships as well as these gay relationships. And it's neat. And those are the stories that weren't being told. It was like, we're celebrating the gay community, but we're not, as you said, like examining it. I think it's just really powerful. I love Southern Hospitality. I can't wait to watch it next season. I don't know why Levo was at the reunion, but it's okay.
I don't know why she looked like that either. No offense.
Whoa.
I didn't like her fit at all or her hair.
Okay.
But do you want to do our rotations?
Sure. I'm first, right?
No, I'm first.
Oh, right. Sorry. I'm Nightmare. Go ahead.
First is, well, okay. This is my rotation, but what I
love
say
when
Phoebe's
rotation starts with first. Well, okay. Let me just.
I wanted Alan Cumming to be on it, but I think he's been on it too many times.
That's never true. Impossible.
It's because I saw a picture of him, Parker Posey, and Alan Cumming's dog, and I was like, that's going to be my rotation. And then Gabby won Traitors, and I was like, all right, so it's Parker Posey and Gabby. And at first it was Parker Posey, Gabby, and Alan. And then I found my current favorite TikToker.
Okay.
And you guys know it was Veronica is Cool for a long time. I love the girl. I still love Veronica. However, Emily Gates.
Phoebe having to look at the name is so funny.
This girl makes me laugh.
Okay, what is her content?
She is so fucking funny. She, I've reposted a ton of her videos. I've sent some of them to you. She just like is like that one friend who's, she's making like Sabrina Breyer content, but she is like someone you would meet in a dream. You know what I mean? Like someone who doesn't, who kind of, there's something.
Say I do. There's someone you would, Phoebe just said it. She's like someone you would meet in a dream. Do you know what I mean? No.
There's something alien about her. She's so funny and like her sense of humor is so unique in the way she edits the videos. It's just her sitting at like a desk being like, this, wait, actually, you know what?
I need
this,
to look up. I'll just close out because I can't remember.
I'll just show you my favorite of these TikToks and then you can do your turn.
All right. I'm not like a username girl. Like I never know people's usernames.
Me either.
But you
that's
bring
why
people
I was like,
up by
I
their first names constantly. And you're like, you don't know.
Well, Molly's different.
You don't know Hannah? And I'm like, who?
Okay,
no.
Ready? Ready?
Okay.
Okay. This is how dreams feel.
You and your elementary school teachers have tickets to the Dua Lipa boat concert. Your house made of yarn and your teeth made of spiders. Inside the Dua boat concert. Dua is selling calculator Dua Lipa merch. The only food at the concert are popcorn kernels and cookies in the shape of American Girl dolls. While Dua is performing America the Beautiful, you have just been appointed the new manager of Nordstrom. The shift started now. The chairs at the concert are beds. You have to wear a seatbelt too. You now have to participate in the pet guessing game. Uh-oh, you have to get off. You've arrived to Motorcycle Island. Here at Motorcycle Island, the way you enter is doing a long division math problem. Fuck. You're last in line. Everyone else made it onto Motorcycle Island. You offer them popcorn kernels instead. You and your elementary school teachers.
Oh, and that's it. My God, your teeth are made of spiders. No, that is what dreams feel like. That's actually exactly what dreams feel like. That's so funny. And
but
I
she
want
does a bunch of videos like
process.
That. And she has that little notebook in all of them. And she just like, she'll just like, it's like hieroglyphic. She does has no idea what she's putting on there.
It's so funny. That's really funny. Wait, what was it? Motorcycle Island. You're going to Motorcycle Island. You just became the manager at Nordstrom. Your shift starts now. That is so funny. Okay, that was a good one. All right. My nightmare rotation, first up, is birthday anxiety. It is just such a real thing. It's my party I'll cry if I want to vibes. I think we can all relate. And especially before a big one, I'm just having it, okay? I'm just having it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Next up, well, I'm putting someone who's been on my nightmare like before and not too long ago, but Jared Osmond, because I was on Reddit and I saw that Jared Osmond has been DMing people thirst traps of himself where the lighting, it's like super, super dark. So you can barely see him. You see the light like glinting off of his abs. I'll put abs in quotes. But literally it is
as
him.
Fits abs.
And so the next one I have to put on there, I'm sorry, is Brittany Bateman. Because what the hell is this? Somebody paid for a cameo to have Brittany Bateman faint three times. Fake faint three times. And so she's like, I think I'm going to faint.
Do you remember when Lisa Vanderpump
and she
fainted?
Yes, but I sent this to you. You should watch it. I'm sure it's like a weird fucking fetish thing. And that's gross. I'm Brittany. I want to say free yourself. Don't do it. But Brittany and Jared together, just knowing what they're up to, recording themselves, singing Abracadabra with your kid. I would die. It's not even.
Wait, I'm also
it's not
dead.
Even funny. Them it's like just
at the,
embarrassing.
At the Traitors reunion when they're all like, Carolyn, you are so loved. You are literally number three on Cameo.
Oh, my God. That
you
was
are literally.
So, she's like,
I was like,
whatever. She literally was like. Whatever.
Like the way that it's so funny that this is this group of celebrities and they all, I mean, clearly Cameo to them is like, that's them looking at the Billboard Hot
absolutely,
100. They're looking at the Cameo
absolutely,
top 10.
Absolutely. They're like, you might as well be on the New York Times bestseller list. Okay. Cameo number three. You're telling stories. You're telling really important stories. You're telling everyone's story, honestly. But I just, Jared and Brittany are the most insufferable people. I hope they stay together forever. And I would never want to spend time with them together or separate. Okay. And that's my nightmare rotation. That and birth anxiety.
Nice work.
What could be worse? Nice. All right, guys. There. This week we have got a podcast coming out on the Patreon for tiers 1, 2, and 3. Next week we've got a Pretty Little Punch Bowl for tiers 2 and 3. And the last week, I think we decided today we're gonna do the pilot of Girls. So that is gonna be our recap for March for Honorary Connell Sisters. Make sure you join the Patreon and make sure you leave us a rating on iTunes. It really, really helps us out. We love you so much. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. And splat.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.